Hi, everybody. My name is Brian Sales. I'm a PhD candidate at Oregon State University. I also work for Dr. David Brila at the USDA ARS Horticulture Research Laboratory in Corvallis. And today I would like to talk to you about the effects of amending soil with biochar in high bush blueberries on plant growth, mycorrhizal colonization, Phytophthora root rot, and some of the soil characteristics that it changes. So first I want to talk to you a little bit about some characteristics that are specific to blueberry growth. Blueberry is a shallow-rooted plant. The roots grow in these really fine, small roots in a mat-like structure, predominantly in the top 30 centimeters of the soil. They prefer a soil that's really high in organic matter and a pH between 4.5 and 5.5. They have a preference for ammonium over nitrate, and they can be rather sensitive to high salinity in soils. Also, because of the roots, one interesting fact is they don't have root hairs, even though the roots are really fine. So they tend to form a symbiotic relationship with mycorrhizal fungi that helps them uptake nutrients from the soil. So biochar, what is it? It's this really porous charcoal, and it's created by the thermal decomposition of seed-bearing compounds in a lack of oxygen or limited oxygen environment. So it's heated up, it breaks down the material, but there's not oxygen in the environment, so it prevents full combustion. When you have full combustion, you're not left with very much. You probably notice there's just ashes left after you burn something usually. With biochar, you get almost 80% retention of the carbon. So what you make it out of, the resulting biochar looks very much like the feedstock. So you'll notice that in the image there, that is wood chips, and then that's the feedstock, and to the right is the biochar that's produced from it. The feedstock can usually vary by location. So biochar is usually made out of any type of agricultural waste that's specific to the area. But you can make biochar out of anything that you can compost, pretty much wood or manure or leaves. The heat application and the feedstock will really affect what the physical and chemical characteristics of the resulting biochar. So, you can kind of tailor it too sometimes to what you want, depending on what you make it out of. Here's some examples. You'll see the feedstocks along the bottom here. The first one is a hardwood feedstock. You can see the biochar made from it. It looks very similar to the wood chips. It becomes more apparent with, say, the rice hulls or the switchgrass and the sugar cane as well. So what happens is when you have a plant, you have all these intercellular spaces within the plant, and when you turn it into biochar, the integrity of those spaces are maintained. So that's what gives biochar so much porosity and the ability to retain its physical shape will determine the resulting biochar. Oops, I think I went wrong. Excuse me. Okay. All right. So here's some physical and chemical properties of biochar. So as I mentioned, it has a high porosity, which is also correlated to a really high surface area. It has a low bulk density. And then it can have a very high cation exchange capacity. So usually as the biochar, the surface gets weathered or more oxygenated, it'll have a pH-dependent charge, and it can develop a very high cation exchange capacity, which can offer more nutrient retention within the soil. The pH of biochars, they can vary very widely, but I would say a range of probably 7 to 10, maybe 7 to 11 pH is pretty typical for the biochars, which can be, scary when you're growing blueberries. Depending on what you make it out of, you might have a low or a high electrical conductivity, so that could be a concern with blueberries. So we wanted to determine the potential of using biochar as a soil amendment, and we wanted to see how it affected plant growth, how it affected the mycorrhizal colonization, Phytophthora root rot, and then, as I mentioned, some of the soil characteristics as well. So in order to do this, two greenhouse studies were performed. We took legacy blueberry, which is rather tolerant of Phytophthora root rot, and potted it in 4-liter pots with a sandy loam field soil. Then we either left the soil unamended or we amended it with two things, a biochar, like a raw biochar, and we did that at a 20 or 10% by volume. And then there's been studies that have shown that biochar, when it's paired with an organic matter, another organic matter, it can do really well. So we use something called bokashi, and bokashi is very similar to compost, except that it's created by fermentation in an anaerobic environment. I mean, it's in an anaerobic environment, whereas composting is very aerobic. So in this situation, just think of bokashi as more like a compost. The difference in the two, and then half of all the treatments we inoculated with Phytophthora cinnamomum and the other half we didn't. So this is two studies. On the one on the top was fertigated weekly with a complete fertilizer of 30-10-10. And the second study, it was fertilized once a month with a rather high rate of 600 parts per million of just ammonium sulfate. So here is a figure showing experiment one and experiment two. It's divided on the left by the non-inoculated and the right, the inoculated. This is leaf area weeks after transplanting. And you can see in the non-inoculated, so when disease is not present, the 20% biochar and 10 and 20% biochar bokashi had the highest overall leaf area compared to a 10% biochar or an unamended soil. When you look at when disease is present there to the right, you have an overall lower leaf area. And you'll notice the lowest one there is it's the green one. It's a 20% bokashi. So this gives us the first inkling that maybe the biochar bokashi is not offering some type of disease suppression for Phytophthora. In the lower slide there, very similar trends from study one and study two. A little bit higher leaf area in when disease was not present. This is probably because of the higher nitrogen rate that I applied. But where that was a benefit in the non-inoculated, in the inoculated, that produced an overall lower leaf area, even than in the inoculated in study one. And they found that when higher nitrogen is in the soil, it can help promote the Phytophthora root rot. So, since pH is such a concern for blueberries, and I'm using a very high pH, the one I used, was a pH of 9. So you can see this tracks pH over the weeks as well. I extracted soil solutions and measured pH. The pH of the field soil that I used was about a 5.4. So I was already pretty much at the upper limit of the pH that blueberry prefers. You'll notice the bottom line in the non-inoculated there, the black is the soil only, and that stays right there at the upper limit. But what's really interesting is the biochar and the bokashi, that stays pretty much only about half a unit higher, so in between the 5.5 and the 6 pH. So we really didn't see much of a change in pH with using the biochar. The inoculated to the right there, again, very similar. Everything stays between like a 5.5 or 5.4 to a 6. You do see a pH spike around week 7 or 8, but that's because I flooded the plants to give the Phytophthora more of an edge. And when you flood filled soils, the pH tends to gravitate back towards a neutral pH of 7. So, okay, so this is the dry weights, shoot, root, and then total dry weight. Although it's broken up here, I don't think there's really anything that tells you more about the shoot and the root. So if you just look at the total dry weight there, you can see the 20% biochar, the highest overall total dry weight, followed right by the 10% and 20% biochar bokashi in study one. When you look at the inoculated, not only is it much lower, but there's not any significant differences among the treatments. So that gives you another inkling that maybe there's no disease resistance there. And then in experiment two, similar results again. This time it was the 20% biochar bokashi, but it was followed by the 10% biochar bokashi and the 20% biochar. A little bit higher total dry weights. Again, I'll attribute that to the higher nitrogen that I fertigated with. Even though I fertigated just once a month, it seemed to prefer it and it resulted in an overall larger plant. But look at the inoculated again. No significant difference. Lower than the non-inoculated, and even a little lower than the above inoculated in study one. So again, the higher nitrogen levels probably affected the dry weights of the plant. So, you know, if disease isn't present, more nitrogen benefited the plant, but when you have more nitrogen and disease is present, it just caused it to deteriorate more quickly. So here we measured the mycorrhizal root colonization. This is really interesting. So the soil that I got, blueberries used to be grown on it, and blueberries were grown in an adjacent field. So it was present in the soil, but if you look in experiment one at the bottom, soil only, the 6C, it had a very low mycorrhizal colonization rate, but it's quite dramatic, the colonization rate of any of the treatments that had biochar in it. Similarly, in experiment two there, they're a little bit higher. So you have the 10 for the soil only, but then everything that had biochar in it had a really high mycorrhizal colonization. And this might be because even though I fertigated at a really high rate at the beginning of the month, you know, I'm not fertigating for about 4 more weeks. And so it may have needed that mycorrhizal to help it mine for nutrients in between those periods of time. And then the root infection by P. cinnamoni. So in treatment, experiment one and experiment two, everything that was not inoculated fortunately showed no signs of infection. But everything that was inoculated shows signs of infection. If you'll look at experiment one, the soil only, the 33, it has the lowest. Then everything with biochar, it has a higher infection. Similarly with study two, 45 for the soil only, and then it just goes up from there. So in these situations, biochar or biochar paired with an organic matter, it only increased the time at which the plant died or showed symptoms of infection. So here's some pictures of just the treatments so you can take a look at them. So on the left, you always have the non-inoculated, and on the right, the inoculated. So signs of the inoculated of the disease are the very bright red colored leaves, leaf drop, and then just an overall smaller plant. This is a 10% bokashi, biochar bokashi non-inoculated and inoculated. Some of the close-up pictures of what the symptoms look like in blueberry for root rot. Here's the 10% biochar. You can see on the left, you have more shoot growth. And then to the right, that plant has already lost a lot of leaves and it's turning very red. Similarly, with the 20% bokashi non-inoculated, you see a much larger plant. But on the right, you have the symptoms and overall lower leaf area. 20% biochar as well. Then remember how I mentioned the soil only treatment, you know, it's not showing quite as much signs of the disease yet. Given this is a 12-week study, so if you give this around, you know, probably a couple more weeks, it's going to look like the other treatments. It's a little upper version of it. So here's a nice picture of some of the aggregation that was associated with the biochar. Has aggregated around the biochar, where most aggregation occurs due to the breakdown of organic matter and the gums in the soil will hold the aggregates together. This seems to be a situation of something that's more electrostatic probably, that is just gravitating around the biochar. Okay, so we saw that biochar greatly increased plant growth and mycorrhizal colonization, but had a negative effect on Phytophthora root rot. And I'm conducting two field studies right now. And then these are some of the acknowledgments here. So do we have time for questions?
Yeah, we have time for questions.
Okay, yes. Say that the electric conductivity, like the salinity in the soil. Yeah, so it's just a little more sensitive. Blueberries, their roots are a little more sensitive. So it can occur, say, with ammonium sulfate tends to have a high salinity. So if you're fertigating a lot, they're just susceptible. So anytime you amend the soil, say like with compost, if you use a manure compost, blueberries won't respond that well because it has a high electrical conductivity in the soil. Sorry. Yes.
The second one, commentary applying in the field because one of the limitations of biochar is
Exactly. That's a great question. So the first part of that question was yes. So if you use a manure, you're going to have a very different biochar than if you, say, use a wood as a feedstock. And you can tailor that. But I wouldn't get too much into tailoring that, because always remember that when you make these biochars, if they work, you're going to have a producer. They're going to need to be able to supply them in large demand. So while that's a fact and something to be aware of, unless you know you can produce it, I wouldn't go down that path too much. Personally, and the other part of the question was how expensive it is. I'm sorry, it is very expensive, but I, in the field studies, if you incorporate it in the row, it's say a 10% by volume, it may be like 6,000 an acre, but we did it at a 20% by volume in the planting hole. That was 1,600 an acre, which sawdust is 1,700 an acre.
Our last speaker is Lauren Elizabeth Redpath, and I will be uploading her talk.